fun things about having little ones is constantly battling the things being passed around. But we ready back there? Looks like Sean, did you do a test?
Yes, we are recording.
Yeah. All right. Good. Well, let's sing songs that are ignored until December.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be, especially this one I love. It's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Page 903. That's my grandpa Harold.
Grandpa.
That's your dad thing?
Yeah.
I forgot that.
Yeah, that's what the age is good for.
Yeah, I told the story that as a real little, I remember singing this song and thinking, wondering why they're singing about my grandpa being an angel. It's not Harold the Angel. It's Harold Angels. And I picked up on that by the time I was about 15 or 16.
Wow. I hear you.
All right, let's sing. Truths regarding the incarnation, the personal work of Jesus Christ. Just an amazing song. Gets shelved every year till December, and some churches probably never sing it at all. But that's a good one. All right. Now, we like to have a little fun, so I hope some of you, if there are any prudes in the crowd, just put up with this for a few minutes. But we're going to have a special by Sister Jenny. She has written it. titled To Be Raptured, and it's a parody of the song Sleigh Ride. So, with no further ado... Wait, before you, let's get the microphone over here so it won't sound like you're singing from a distance.
Okay.
Just put it right here.
Okay. All right, can you make sure I'm on the screen?
Yeah, we don't want to cut your head off. That'd be
I'm pretty sure they can see
nightmare. Me. Yes. There we go.
Okay, it's my head. With you. How sad the world is falling, and it's appalling, it's true. Come on, it's lovely weather to be raptured to heaven with you. Look up, look up, look up, we'll go to be with the Lord. We're flying, why won't we fly? We have sown. Watch out, watch out, watch out, and stand, having done all to stand. We're pressing on with the song of our home that's called Beulah Land. Our church is bright with Jesus, he died to free us, it's true. We're meeting up together like a sister or brother would do. Let's search the book before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather to be raptured to heaven with you. There's a potluck at the church of BBS today.
Amen.
It'll be the cake with icing of a perfect day. We'll be singing the songs we love to sing without a single stop. In the basement while we let the popcorn pop.
Pop, pop, pop,
pop, pop. There's a happy feeling nothing in the world can buy. When they pass around the coffee, cocoa, tea, and I, it'll nearly be like a rehearsal of the piece when we arrive. These wonderful things are the things that help us get through our lives. These wonderful things are the things that help us get through our lives. Just hear those trumpets trumpeting, ba 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 da da boo. Come on, it's lovely weather to be raptured to heaven with you. Outside the world is falling and it's appalling, it's true. Come on, it's lovely weather to be raptured to heaven with you. Look up, look up, look up, we'll go to be with the Lord. We're flying where we'll reap what we have sown. Watch out, watch out, watch out and stand, having done all to stand. We're pressing on with the sun of our home that's called Beulah Land. Our church is right with Jesus, he died to free us, it's true. We're meeting up together like a sister and brother would do. Let's search the book before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather to be raptured to heaven with you.
Woo!
I don't want to be critical, but I was expecting to hear some accordion.
What happened?
We didn't get to that part.
Maybe next year?
Sounds like a good idea for the future.
Maybe, are you willing to learn it?
Let's hope. Maybe Martha will be back. I know she could do it.
See, that's what we're all about here, bringing people together.
You got till December.
What? I got the other one for December.
Well, that one and... If you learn them.
All right.
All right. Number 87 in the hymn book. Joy to the World.
Thank you.
you one more. This is my favorite. Incarnation hymn, as we like to call it. And by the way, Jessica, you let me know by Sunday what songs you want to sing.
Oh.
You could pick four.
Ooh. You have to know before Sunday.
They have to be songs Jenny knows.
You have to know before Sunday.
That's what I just said.
Maybe Wednesday?
Well, by Wednesday? Yeah, let me know by Wednesday.
How about we can work together?
All right. Or you can work with Jenny.
I'm looking at Jenny.
But this is a wonderful, very old hymn, O Come, Emmanuel.
Okay,
we'll
page,
stand and
page,
we'll sing.
Page
83.
Yeah.
You can be seated. That song just, that don't light your kindling, your wood is wet. That don't light your fire, your kindling's wet. Is that the way it's
called? That don't light your fire, your kindling's wet. There you go. You got to say it like that. That way it works.
One old preacher used to get excited when he hears something like that and say, "Somebody better hold my mule. I think I'm about to shout."
Come on now.
Oh, could you hand me the microphone there? It's just right there. Yes, thank you.
Uh-oh.
All right, onliners, send us your prayer request at bbfohio.com. And anyone here want to submit a prayer request? You have prayer request cards and pencils there. There's your reminder to turn off or mute your mobile devices or switch to silent mode. Thank you very much. All right. Our BBF Evangelism Project in July has come down to the last week, and we still got more than half to give out. And
can you remind us at the end of the service as well?
Yeah. Actually, if you want to, you can come up and get them right now if you want. Have somebody or have somebody hand them out. Raise your hand if you want some. Dre, can you help her pass these out?
Sure.
If you want some gospel tracts to help us meet our July evangelism project, raise your hand.
Okay, guys, I got five. I got to get rid of.
No pressure.
Chick tracks hit. Get the chick tracks hit.
I have three left. He has one. He wins.
Now, you know, ideas, so just give them out. Give them when you go to get a cup of coffee or go out to eat or when you go to the grocery store, give it to the cashier. Or you can just walk up and down the street and give them to people.
I just want to say that if you put them in those little bags you get from Dollar Tree, then they're the perfect size. And when you go anywhere and there's a parking lot, it is so easy. Just park as far away as you can. And when you're walking in the door, just spray in those on the car. It's so easy.
Yeah.
You feel like that.
Jenny likes to hit the rear windshield.
Yeah.
Wiper.
The SUV.
The SUV.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to hold the questions, comments to the end, but I want to mention that last week I said that anyone listening to Tony Fauci was a fool. And I was asked, why do you say that? It wasn't hostile. They were just wondering why I said that. So I just thought I'd show you.
There is no need to change anything that you're doing on a day-by-day basis. Right now, the risk is still low.
It was just bad. It is bad now. I think these numbers are so stunning.
If you're a healthy young person, that there is no reason, if you want to go on a cruise ship, to go on a cruise ship.
It is not a good idea to travel, period,
in the United States. People should not be walking around with masks.
Well, if one mask is good, it makes common sense that maybe two masks are better.
If you look at the evolution of the virus in bats, and what's out there now is very, very strongly leaning towards this could not have been artificially or deliberately manipulated.
Are you still confident that it developed naturally?
No, I'm not convinced about that. I think that we should continue to investigate what went on in China.
That picture sums it up for me because he was preaching to everybody to keep their masks on, and he's there, and he's not eating or drinking, and he's just playing on his phone. He got his mask pulled down. He didn't know somebody was taking his picture.
He's the only one doing it, too.
And that's what you're finding. All these people are preaching to you to wear that mask. They don't wear them. They only wear them when they're on camera.
Exactly.
And so that's why I said that about Dr. Fauci. And, Johnny, I don't want to offend you or anything, but people behind you are having trouble seeing the screen, so you do have to and put it back on as soon as the service is over. Okay. I like the hat. But so that leads us into our current events update. Actually, I couldn't see Rick's face, and you know, just it's one of those faces you want to be able to see. And then right behind him, Chuck. I mean, you know.
Because he'll be making faces, you never know.
That's right. I want to make sure he's not making faces.
They didn't complain. It was you that complained.
I know. I'm explaining that. So anyway, our current events update, headline reviews in the news, number one, the march to the mark of the beast continues. This is from Chick Publications. They have their own little magazine. It's mostly online now, but they have this headline, France takes another step towards the mark. One more verification of the Bible's accuracy surfaced recently in France. And that's why I always emphasize, a lot of what you're seeing in current events updates, it's not to tell you to do something about it. If you can, you should. You should always do what's right. But a lot of times what we're seeing are things that are out of our control, but it's to remind you, God is in control.
Yeah.
It's to remind you that even though these things are crazy and can even be scary on a human level, nothing to fear, God's in control. He has already told us these things are going to happen. So it builds our faith in this book because that's how we know what God's told us. So President Emmanuel Macron announced a tightening of the health pass. That sound French? That way I said that. Emmanuel Macron.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui, senor. No, that's senor. That's Spanish. So, yeah. So this health pass is what they're calling it. We're calling them, what do we call them over here? Vaccine passports. Yeah. They're calling it a health pass. Issued to those who have taken the COVID-19 vaccine. If not vaccinated, then they are required to show proof of a recent, taken within 48 hours, negative COVID-19 test. Folks, I mean, that is a preliminary step toward the mark of the beast where you can't buy, sell, or trade without that mark. In this case, it's not the mark of the beast, and there are some people out there saying that, and that's not true, but it's setting the stage for the mark of the beast. And as we see the stage being set for the mark of the beast, you know that the coming of the Lord is soon. Christmas in July is kind of out of the ordinary, but when you come down to these days in September, when you see the Christmas stuff going up in the stores in September, well, then you know Thanksgiving's getting close, right?
Yeah.
See, that's how this thing works. The Bible doesn't say that there's a sign that the rapture is about to happen, but there are signs of the second coming. And you know when you see the signs for the second coming that you know the rapture is coming close.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's this thing with the mark of the beast. And they're going to control where you go, and eventually it's going to be what you buy and sell. And they're already talking about punishing people in some countries and taking away bank accounts. And so you aren't going to be able to buy, sell, or trade without a vaccine.
Wow.
So that's setting the stage for the mark of the beast, where you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without that. Now, the difference is, if you take the COVID vaccine, that's not the same as the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, when you take that mark, it is an act of allegiance and worship of the devil and his false Christ. And you will knowingly be acknowledging him as deity when you take the mark of the beast. But this is all set in the stage. And the Chick article began with this matter of fact. What do you do in the midst of the hurricane of fake news? The best thing to do is to go to the only history/prophecy book that has proven accurate over the millennia, the Book of Revelation.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's a lot more than just the Book of Revelation, but that's a good bit of advice. Headline number two, the Cleveland Indians are now the Guardians.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least at the end of this year, they're going to change everything over to the Guardians. And Ball Club announced the name change Friday, and that's, I guess, what's going to be on the front of the jerseys and everything. Ending months of discussions triggered by a national reckoning by institutions and teams to drop logos and names considered racist. Well, most of what's called racist today isn't racist. As a matter of fact, most left-wingers, all you have to do is tell them you disagree with them, and they'll say, you're racist. What, for disagreeing with you? Yeah. When you say that Islam is a false religion, boy, that's racist. Islam isn't a race. It's a religion. And it's true. Islam is a false religion. It's not racist. But this is the story behind the name Indians. Meet Louis Sakalexis, the first Native American pro baseball player said to be inspiration for the Cleveland Indians. When the team was called the Cleveland Spiders back in 1890, 1899, a couple of you were in high school back then, it signed Louis Sakalexis, a member of the Penobscot tribe, who quickly ascended to stardom, earning the team the nickname Indians. According to the Society for American Baseball Research, that's fact, history. Soon after being signed by the Cleveland Spiders in early 1897, Sakalexis wowed local sports writers who began referring to the team as the Indians. And by the end of March that year, the name Spiders was virtually forgotten.
Why don't they go back to the Spiders then?
Yeah. It's Spider-Man.
Because then people would find out about this.
Yeah.
I have no idea. So, Louis Sakalexis, canceled by the liberal leftist mob.
Yes.
And that bit is a tribute. It wasn't racist. It was a tribute to him. Now, they called the mascot, what was his name?
Chief Wahoo.
Chief Wahoo. Because people would have might have thought it was racist calling Chief Louie. You know. But look, Chief Wahoo, it even looks like Louie. Do you remember Chief Wahoo, the little mascot? Even looks like it. You see, that's what these people... This isn't about racism, folks. It's about Marxism. It's about totally getting rid of everything that you stand for, everything your country stands for. That's why the Black Lives Matter and Antifa crowd, they're not just tearing down any white supremacist in reality. They were tearing down Abe Lincoln statues. They're tearing down George Washington statues. I mean, it didn't matter. And that's what this is all about, so everybody's got to wake up to what's going on in reality in this country. And finally, headline number three, the communist agenda via COVID continues. Local COVID-19 mandates, local COVID-19 vaccine mandates are likely following full FDA authorization.
Wow.
Now, listen closely. This would seem to violate the Nuremberg Code, right? Some of you know the Nuremberg Code. The Nuremberg Code was developed after World War II because of what the Nazis did. And so this is a screenshot, by the way, copy and paste. The Nuremberg Code, 1947, it was written about permissible medical experiments. It says the great weight of the evidence before us to effect that certain types of medical experiments on human beings, when kept within reasonably well-defined bounds, conform to the ethics of the medical profession generally. In other words, they're saying there is a way to do these experiments, and not all experimentation is bad. But then there's 10 points, by the way. And the first point in the Nuremberg Code says the voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely is essential. In other words, if you don't want the vaccine, you don't have to take it.
Amen.
But here's the game they play. See, Satan always plays with words. That's how Satan always works. And his children do too. This means that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent, should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion. I think that makes it pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
So here's what they're going to do. The plan, evidently, is for the FDA to declare approval of the COVID vaccination and then declare that the Nuremberg Code does not apply.
Wow.
As it is no longer experimental.
Wow.
See the game?
Blow one to them.
But see, here's the thing. Those of us who do our homework know that that still doesn't cut mustard.
Amen.
According to the Christian Post Andy Slavitt said he believes the vaccine could become mandatory in some places once one or more of the three vaccines authorized by the FDA for emergency use get full approval from the agency. Again, language matters. Not fully tested.
Just
full approval.
That's just a matter of payoff.
That's just a rubber stamp, and there's always money involved. Mm-hmm. This is the same guy, works for the Biden's administration. I think once the vaccines go through full FDA approval, again, not full testing, everything should be on the table, and I think that everything will be on the table at the level of municipalities, states, employers, venues, government agencies, etc. Now, note this. This is how they always work, folks. They've suspended the Constitution by proxy. What I mean is what they've done is they know the Constitution doesn't give the federal government the power to do this. So what they do is they tell these municipalities, states, employers, etc., if you don't require, if you don't mandate this vaccine, you lose all the money, all the grants. Anything you get from the federal government, you will lose. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
And they're using money to suspend the Constitution.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The reality, though, in addition to that, the Nuremberg Code does not just apply to experiments, according to the British Medical Journal and other authoritative sources. This is, again, a screenshot. British Medical Journal, number 7070, volume 313, page 1448. Published December 7, 1996, introduction says the judgment by the War Crimes Tribunal at Nuremberg laid down 10 standards to which physicians must conform when carrying out, here's the key word, experiments, and right now that's all the COVID vaccine is experimental gene therapy, on human subjects in a new code that is now accepted worldwide. And then it says, this code recognizes that doctors should avoid actions that injure human patients. That's why they're skewing the numbers and not admitting how many people are getting sick and dying from the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And then it says, the principles established by this code for medical practice now have been extended into general codes of medical ethics. In other words, this applies in medicine, period, not just experiments.
That's right.
This code is applied to all medicine,
amen,
not just experiments. And by the way, we repeatedly warn you that the following is the defining trait of apostasy and satanic control of your government and culture. When Jeremiah 9:5 said, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. That is your government. That is your culture in America today. Jeremiah 9:5. And we provide a link to download the Nuremberg Code with the British Medical Journal comments. If you go to bbfohio.com and you can type in PDF-downloads, or you can go to the banner and click on resources, click on PDF downloads, and then find at the bottom of the list the Nuremberg Code download, and it'll download in a PDF format. And we want you to be informed. And there's another thing I didn't go into. Brother Jason sent me something. I got some from two or three other people. And there's this graphene oxide, I think it's called, that people are reporting and saying that that's the majority ingredient in the shot, or some sources are claiming it's 99% of what is in the shot. Kind of like the decon thing where 99.9% is just, you know, fiber. And then they put the 0.01% poison in, and that's what kills the rats. The reason I'm not going into that right now is because I'm not saying I don't believe it, but I have no evidence one way or the other. I'm hearing people talk about these things, and they have other people talking about these things, and they say, like in Spain, there was supposed to have been a test, and they found this. But I can't find any evidence other than hearsay. And folks, we've got to be careful. Don't just take anything you hear some or see on the internet and run with it. You've got to ask, okay, based on what? Because we've been, you know, I think sometimes even the government itself puts out some of this information to cause confusion.
Yeah, amen.
And you've got to make sure that the information you have is based on fact and not just somebody on the internet. And some doctor or some research scientist, they've been wrong. They've led us astray many times over the years. And, of course, some of you remember things like Jade Helm 15 and some of that stuff where they had everybody all upset over nothing. It was all baseless. And so they take a kernel of truth and then they make it into a lie. That's the problem. Rick?
A couple of things. I saw an article in the last few weeks that stated that the employees of the FDA are not in favor of moving towards approval of any of the vaccines. So that was kind of new to me. I read that it's like over 800 people that said, no, we're not going to approve this vaccine. And then the other thing about doctors doing no harm, I mean, we're living in the age of doctors performing transgender surgeries,
yeah,
and chemical castration of children. So we're in the realm of doctors doing harm.
The Hippocratic Oath is going the way of the Constitution.
Yeah.
Johnny?
Yeah, isn't it interesting that we've seen recently that, so that means that them changing the name of the Indians, they're essentially being racist against Indians.
Yeah, they're destroying a tribute.
Yeah, because it was originally meant to be a tribute to them.
Black Lives Matter tearing down a statue of Abe Lincoln. Yeah. I mean, just think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jenny?
Well, just on the note of the Cleveland Indians.
Oh, yes.
There's a guy in our neighborhood who has a Cleveland Indians flag, and he's put it upside down.
Did he? Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I used to be a Cincinnati Reds fan who also liked the Indians. And when I grew up, they didn't have interleagues, and they never the Indians hardly ever went to the playoffs, so we never got to see them play. And so I've been a fan of both, and I've given up on all sports except for I watch high state football now.
That's it.
And there's some signs that's going the wrong way as well, so I'll just go fishing, I guess. All right, well, we need to get into our study for the sake of time, but let's go over to, we're going to be in Luke chapter 12, and we'll open Bible study with a word of prayer. And good to have Brother Dre with us this morning. Would you open Bible study prayer? Amen.
Amen.
Luke 12:13-21. Luke 12:13-21, titling based on the text, Not Rich Toward God. Luke 12:13-21. You read the odd verses with me, so jump right in there in verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So we begin with a heartbreak here after what we were talking about in the previous messages. A change of subject because somebody comes up to Jesus and asks him a question. And that's in verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And I love how Jesus responds. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Yeah, I love that.
Man.
Man. And at one time when Jesus is talking to his mom, he says, Woman. Yeah, I love Jesus is I just love Jesus. I can't wait to, you know.
Come on,
he's not the fruitcake that a lot of people present him to be, but he's also not the stiff. You know, they make him look like he's just a stiff statue that whose mouth moved.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. That's Joe Biden. That's not Jesus. So we won't go there.
But I draw those differences.
Yeah. But I love this because I get this a lot. You know, Jesus didn't come to fix society. He didn't come to, you know, straighten out everybody on every little thing this time. Now, that'll happen next time. But I, by the way, I get this a lot myself. And pastors, for example, are not financial advisors. I've had people come to me and ask about how to, you know, invest or retirement plans and that kind of thing. And I can tell them, you know, I've heard good things about Dave Ramsey. I used to tell people, you know, they could listen to he's been dead for a number of years now. Now I forget his name, but the Coming Economic Earthquake. You remember that?
Yeah.
The fellow who wrote that book. And, you know, but I even tell him, I don't know, he's not infallible, so, you know, check everything out. People come and say, you know, should I buy this house? I can't tell you whether to buy that house. Or this car, you know, and I'll be, you know, I'll say, well, I've owned a Honda and Toyota, and they've done really well. I hadn't had much good fortune from my ownership of Ford. And, you know, then other people, though, they have different experiences. You know, Mark will say, don't own a Dodge, you know. So, but I know people who own Dodge and they work fine. So, you know, that's something you're going to have to pray about and look into. And Jesus himself didn't come to deal with that kind of thing. But he uses this as a teachable moment. And so that's where we pick up verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So he's telling this guy who's worried about the inheritance, you know, there's more important things. Don't get so caught up. You know, how many of you know, and of course in the Hollywood world, we know of many times where people die and then for the next 20 years, their family fight each other and hate each other and, you know, go to court and sue each other over the inheritance.
I think Pedro said it was Larry Burkett.
Larry Burkett. That's it. Thank you, Pedro. Yeah. He's one I used to recommend to people. But anyway, what was I saying? There's more important things than that inheritance, and you know, if it came right down to it, you know, I don't think you should just roll over for everybody all the time. You know, I'm not saying that, but people fight over trinkets in houses, you know, things that aren't really worth much of anything. Folks, it's not worth ruining relationships, especially if it's an unsaved loved one. You kind of give a bad picture of Christianity when you're so stuck on a material item that's going to burn and you're going to go to heaven and have streets of gold and a grand inheritance and you're worried about this trinket to the point you'd ruin your relationship. You see what I'm saying? I think that's what Jesus is saying here. A lot of Christians will lose reward for this very reason, that they are so covetous for things that they put off God, they put off serving the Lord, they put off local church. They don't even attend because they're so busy working. And they put off their own families. Men who have children who hardly know them because they're just so covetous. They're always working to have more and more and more and more. It's going to be Christians who are going to stand there regretting the fact that they put such emphasis on things.
Amen.
And they don't give because they always want more for their own soul. I mean, a lot of times it's a fleshly hippo yawning. A lot of the fleshly, got to stop it, you're going to get me doing it. That a lot of the things that people want is about the flesh. But, you know, it's really their soul is behind that desire. There's something wrong deep within the soul. So Jesus is going to teach a parable. which, as we read, certainly resembles the Ebenezer Scrooge in the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol. I miss that because I actually met a man who was so troubled at Randolph was his name, the guy who played Scrooge in one of the, George C. Scott. Yeah, the one he was in. And this guy had seen that. And listen, folks, I mean, God can use a lot of things, especially when somebody's had the Word of God planted and the gospel seeds planted. God will use a lot of things to wake people up. I've told stories about some of the things that really brought me under severe conviction over the last year of my life before I got saved. And we just talked about recently, Loretta Lynn, wasn't it? Standing room only. You ever hear that song? Go out and look that up and listen to the lyrics and put yourself in my shoes. I was unsaved and living like a fool and knew it in the back of my mind. And God used that to keep me up. Sleepless nights. The other time I'd gotten a fight and I didn't start it. I was defending somebody, but the guy decided a good place to put his knee would be in my nose. And so for a couple of weeks, I had two black eyes and couldn't breathe out of my nose. But I had to work, so I went to work, and I was working at Kroger. I was a cashier, but once in a while, I'd go outside and get the carts just to get away. And I was out there getting the carts, and my grandma and Grandpa Miller come walking up to me. And my grandma looks at me and says, "Oh, Greg." She looked at me. I said, "It's worse than it looks, Grandma. It's worse than it looks." And I just remember her saying, "Greg, I'm worried about your soul. And you have somebody say something like that to you that you love and respect. That just cut you." So in this case, this guy's sitting at home enjoying his Christmas ham or whatever and turns on this George C. Scott version of the Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol. And this is the funny thing. I don't know the guy's name or I tell you, but this years ago, but he gave his testimony. It was funny because he said that he thought that this was in the Bible. He was watching this movie and he thought it was based on the Bible. And one of the reasons he said, because Dickens wrote a book about Jesus. And in his mind, he remembered the Dickens book about Jesus and put kind of two to two together in his head. He thought this was something out of the New Testament. But God used it, that kept him up, and he eventually, shortly after the New Year, that year, he got saved. Well, in this version of the Christmas Carol, it says verse 16-17, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." You see, his thought wasn't, how can I bless people with this? What can I do this to bring glory to God? If God ever blesses you with riches, there's nothing sinful about that. The sinful comes in with your response.
Yeah.
And when your response has nothing to do with obeying God's will, bringing glory to God, love, you know, serving others, that sort of thing, that's where the problem comes in. When it's all about this guy, he's already rich. And he's got his big barns already full. What's he going to do? Tear those down and build bigger ones. I say, you know, I try to butt out of the business of other churches, but there's many churches around the world, around the country, who have these massive churches, and it's just never big enough. They raise millions more, tear that down, and build a bigger one. Not that they needed it, but they had to make room for the pizza restaurant, you know, and all that kind of thing. It's just amazing to me. I would never do that because I wouldn't want to stand before the Lord and answer for doing that with His money. I think there's some starving people that we could feed and preach the gospel to with that money.
Amen.
But that's just me.
Amen.
Evidently, God, I'll just say, it might be that God knows I can't handle that kind of thing because none of you have ever written me a $1 million check. So I've never had to worry about such problems. Yeah, if Doug ever wrote me one, I know what that would mean. I'd dribble it. So this guy's a hoarder. And folks, I joke about it, but I've known two people who didn't give to the Lord's work, and they died. And when they died, their families found out that they had huge amounts of money and other holdings. And you know where the money went? They didn't leave a will saying, give this to the Lord's work or anything. And it went, in both cases, went to unsaved people who just spent it. Two Christians that I know personally who could have left this at least a good portion of their wealth to the Lord's work. And even after they're in heaven, their money would still be doing the Lord's work. But they just hoarded it, died and left it, and they just burned it up, spent it like, you know, people like that would. So verse 18, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. You notice how many times he's saying, I, me, my, whatever. All about me, me, me. It's a standing joke here at BBF that a lot of churches ought to add to their praise book or their praise worship repertoire the song, me, 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 me. That's usually a warm-up. But that could fit in there. Me, 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 me. Oh, yeah. Me, 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 me. Yeah. That's what it's all about. There's sermons, you know, week after week. What are the sermons about? Something about you. I got to make this all about you. You people there. That's what it's all about, you. It's supposed to be about Him.
Amen.
It's supposed to be about Jesus. You know what is about you? What Jesus did for you.
Amen.
What Jesus has to say to you. What Jesus teaches you. But it's not just about you. But that's what... You go to the Christian bookstore to look at the bestsellers. And just think about what the point of that book and who the real subject of that book is. It'll rarely be something that isn't about you. Because that's how they know to make their money. Those are the itching ears that these people are scratching. And it's never enough. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
When your goal is this life of covetousness and having as much as you can, it's never enough. These guys that are, you know, the big tech people and people like Bezos, you know, what's he doing with his money? I think I'll just take a trip to the moon, or at least to outer space. Later, he wants to go to the moon. I had a meme I showed, you know, that said that the global warming and climate change is so horrible and terrible and serious that the richest man on earth is taking rides in his carbon spewing space rocket into space and back just for fun.
Yeah.
See, you need to live like a pauper. You need to live in poverty, but the people like Bezos, they'll continue to live the way they live. It's not about the climate. It's about control and keeping you where they want you. So then verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Kind of made me feel good there because there's many times I talk to myself and say, Greg. A lot of times it's when I do dumb things. I'm like, Greg. Last night I heard Jenny having a real good conversation with herself. She's in there and I said, who are you talking to? Myself, and I'm having a good conversation. That's not the sin. The sin isn't that he's talking to himself. It's that he's never satisfied. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Think about that. How many of you have? We buy and have some things in store, you know, in case something happens, you need it, you know. We don't have many years worth. This guy does, and it still isn't enough. Take eat thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Look at that. No thought of God or others anywhere in there.
Yeah.
Remember what Jesus said. We were in chapter 10. Turn back to chapter 10 real quick. Verses 26 through 28. Wasn't too long ago, Jesus had said this. He's answering a fellow asked him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And in verse 26, Jesus says, he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Read 28. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Isn't that funny? That he tells him, you know, loving the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving your neighbors yourself, you'll do that and you'll live. But go back then to our text in Luke 12. The soul in our text will not live. You see the contrast? Loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving your neighbors yourself, you'll live. Why? You can't love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and reject the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. And if you say you love God, but you don't love others, talk is cheap. In this case, this guy doesn't mention God, doesn't have anything to do with anything but himself. Then verse 20, read that with me. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? What's going to happen to all that stuff? What's going to happen to all that stuff he's hoarding up?
Yeah, it'll burn up.
It'll burn up, rot, go to somebody else. One thing we know for sure, it ain't going to go to him. You can't take it with you. Amen?
Amen.
How often you seen this?
No.
Isn't often. And if you do, I'm sure it doesn't have anything to do with where they're burying that body in the hearse. That's why you don't see U-Hauls behind a hearse.
Amen.
You can't take it with you. So that's why verse 21 says, So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Those two people I mentioned earlier, I believe they were saved. I believe saved people can be foolish.
Amen.
Saved people can do stupid things. Saved people can die and have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank account and all kinds of stocks and bonds and whatever and have made no provision for the Lord's work. And when they die, all that stuff just might as well be thrown on a fire and burned because it's just going to go to a bunch of people who are going to spend it on whatever. It's not going to be used for God's glory.
Yep.
I believe that happens. And this guy, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This guy is so far gone, I imagine he might be in hell.
Yeah.
And what good is any of this stuff going to do you in hell?
Yeah.
If you have the idea, well, me and my buddy's going to be down there, we're going to drink, play cards, and just hang out. You're a fool.
Amen.
That ain't going to happen. Hell is a place of outer darkness, wailing and gnashing of teeth. The filthy are still filthy.
Yep.
For the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. We read that last week in our Isaiah study.
Yep. Amen.
That's the fool, laying up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The greedy Christian, think of that. The greedy Christian is a contradiction in terms. No Christian should be referred to as greedy.
Amen.
I worked for an outfit one time and they had glory to God on the side of the big building where we went in and made the product. They were so cheap, treated their employees terribly. And the joke inside among all the unsaved people I worked with and I was trying to talk to about Jesus and get them to study the Bible with me and all that kind of thing. They said they should change that to glory to gold.
Yeah.
Instead of glory to God.
Yeah.
Greedy Christian, it's a contradiction in terms. Real quick as we close, look at Acts 20. And verse 35. Acts 20 and verse 35. This is a wonderful message by Paul. We don't have time to get into a lot of it, but this is one of those verses that kind of gets out of our thought process.
Yep.
Paul says this in verse 35. If you're there, read it. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
That's just a big test. If you can't give without just feeling sick of your stomach, there's something wrong with your heart.
Yep.
If you have and you can, then the Spirit of God in you, if you're allowing Him to control you, you're going to be a very giving person. By the way, we're not just talking about cash here, by the way. I mean, giving, period. Things that you can give. It's up to you to know what that is. But it says, and when He had thus spoken, He kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that he should they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Paul gave of himself. That's why they were weeping before he was gone. They were missing him before he was even gone.
Yeah.
He gave, meaning Jesus. So we give. See, that's how it's supposed to work. You know that you should be burning in hell right now. If you don't know that, see me afterwards. We need to do a Bible study. God says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every sinner deserves to be in hell right now.
Amen.
But Jesus came as a baby, born of a virgin. Sinless. Son of God. The only being in existence that could die for your sins. And he did. He lived a sinless life. Demonstrated his deity with the miracles, making the blind to see, the lame to walk, raising the dead, and then they showed their appreciation, named towns after. No, they crucified him.
Yeah.
They murdered him. And he shed his blood to pay for your sins, put him in a tomb, and after 3 days and nights, he rose bodily from the dead, conquering sin and death. If it weren't for that, no one would ever be saved.
Amen. That's right.
But because of that, all who will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for their sins and was buried, rose again, according to the Scriptures, everyone who believes that is saved.
Amen.
It's that cut and dry. So He gave and saved your soul and my soul from hell.
Amen.
And if you really believe that and understand that, you're going to be a giver. You're going to have His Spirit. That means you're going to want to give just like He gave.
Amen.
So if you don't have a giving spirit about you, you need to check your spirit. You need to get along with God and ask Him why. Why, God? Why does it hurt me to give? Why, when I give, do I just not like it? God loves a cheerful giver. We give our lives to Him in repentance. Some crazy nuts out there telling everybody you don't have to repent to be saved in the first place. Not only that, your whole life is a life of repentance. Everything about you that is short of His glory, you repent of. Everything you do that is wrong, you repent of. You may not be right that moment, but when God's Spirit confronts you with it, you say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I confess that sin. And the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And that's your life until you get glorified. You're going to fail.
Yeah.
You don't do it by intent or there's something really wrong. But even when you do, when you recognize it, you repent. And the greatest gift we can give to others is not a check.
Amen.
Or a Christmas gift or a birthday gift or whatever. Those are all fine. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. House the homeless, whatever. Those are all wonderful things, but the greatest gift you can give to any of those people in any of those categories is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can feed them today, they'll get hungry tomorrow. You can give them a coat today and next week it's stolen from them out on the street.
That's right.
Don't stop doing those things. But those things are not the gifts that last. The only gift that lasts eternally is the gospel.
Amen.
Give them that coat and give them the gospel. Give them food and give them the gospel.
Amen.
Help people out when they help a guy change a flat tire, and while you're talking to him, give him the gospel.
Amen.
Give him a gospel tract as he goes on. Whatever. That's the greatest gift that you can give to others. And that's where we're going to end our study this week. As the musicians come forward,
amen.
We're going to sing a song about being faithful, to be a giver is to be faithful. Page 100. O come, O ye faithful. It says, oh come, let us adore Him. That's another thing I can't help you with because I can't tell. That's a heart matter.
Amen.
When you sing these hymns, you are supposed to be singing to Him. Sing the hymn, H-Y-M-N, to Him, H-I-M. And when you do that, you're adoring Him. You're telling Him you love Him. You're singing to Him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It gives us as a gift an opportunity, and it'll do something to you. Sing out, if you would. Let's stand. Page 100. Stand if you can. Your prayer requests in to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Let's say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. God bless you. Merry Christmas.